Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a beautiful Wednesday. Today's September 27th, and Rachel is still on vacation. I bet you she's having a blast in back in Vermont. And not one of my top 10 destinations that I would think about, but if someone invited me, I would do it. But I am joined by the beautiful Ren Woods. Welcome to the show, Ren.
Thanks, Sam. And I love Ren has being
been
here.
Yes, you've been on the show, last week or 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
Yes, and we liked you so much that we invited you back.
Well, thank you. I feel so honored.
Yes.
I'm going to say I have to agree with you. I don't think Vermont is in my top 10 places.
Right.
On my list, but she's having fun.
Yeah, yeah.
She's on a red wine diet, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, is that what it is?
That's what it is. She's having a blast. We miss her, though.
Yeah. So what, have you been back east at all? Where are you originally from?
Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Small town outside of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, a suburb.
So you were back east for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been in L.A. for 5 years.
5 years. Okay, so that's home for you now.
Yeah, LA's home. South Carolina will always be my home. I tell my mom, I'm like, home is wherever you are, Mom. She loves it.
I know. They love that stuff, you know?
They love it when I say that.
I know.
I do miss it, though. I was invited to a Rosh Hashanah dinner last week.
Oh, really?
I'm not Jewish.
You're not Jewish?
Yeah, I don't know much
about
it.
So to you, it was a big deal.
I love any excuse to celebrate.
Right.
So I made biscuits for everyone, because
really?
I think that's what a Southern Jew would eat, is biscuits with apple honey
Southern
butter.
Southern Jew. I don't know. Yeah. Do they have such animal at all? Southern Jews.
There are Southern Jewish people.
I know,
yes.
I know. They're everywhere.
But apple honey butter, they loved it. Got the recipe from pauladeen.com.
Oh, yeah?
I'm super undomestic, so it was hilarious that I was cooking anything. But they loved them, and they were a hit.
Yeah. Now, did you enjoy the dinner and everything?
I did.
That you went to?
I did. It was amazing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, people celebrate a little differently, but essentially it's the same thing, you know?
Yeah, well, I just love it because it's a reason for your family to come together and celebrate. I mean, this dinner was 30 people.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Wow.
They were all family members.
Huh?
Yeah. It's like, wow.
Wow.
Imposing on this family.
Yeah, right?
It was so fun. They were so welcoming. And
yeah, it's sort of like a deed, like they say, a mitzvah, you know, which is like a good deed to invite people in for the holiday.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if they're Jewish or not, you know?
Right.
Yeah. The Jewish religion is very welcoming. Many people don't understand that.
That's right.
But they do make it very difficult to convert, you know, because they want to make sure if you convert that you really want to do it, you know.
Right, they're very serious,
And you're really immersed in it. But and that's the thing. So you sort of like have to be religious if you marry or convert into the religion.
Right.
And yet, you know, people like me and stuff that were born Jewish, you know, I don't really practice all these things. You know, I mean, I celebrate the holidays and everything.
Right.
But
so
the rituals,
no Shabbat every Friday night.
No, no rituals. I mean, we do Shabbat and stuff, but it doesn't mean I don't drive the car and that I don't work and all that stuff.
Right. Oh, is that a thing, not driving a car?
Yeah. You're not supposed to do any work. That's what the really orthodox.
On Fridays.
Well, Friday night ends all of Saturday. Because, you see, Jewish holidays start at sundown. So Shabbat starts Friday around 6-7, and it goes through Saturday at around 6-7. Yeah.
So no working at all.
You're not supposed to work or any of that. You know, you go to temple and all that.
Maybe I need to become Jewish.
I'm a bad Jew.
So I don't have to work.
Yeah, so we get 2 days off. We get Saturday and Sunday.
Man,
you know?
I work 7 days a week. I need to become Jewish so I can
That's
take
true,
some
right?
days off.
Yeah, right. But there's more holidays here to take off than there are over in Israel, you know. So
that's true.
Yeah.
There's like a holiday for everything now. People are like, oh, it's National Donut Day. I'm not going to work today.
Yeah.
Like, it's National Pizza Day. Like, is that what? National Sister Day. You can make up a day for anything.
Right, and they do. They make up shit for everything. So you're a comic, right? You're a comedian.
Yeah, I am.
And when did you start dabbling in that?
I had my first stand-up show in January, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm kind of new to it. Yeah. I just started doing it. I'm an actress, so I wanted to do something different. And people have been encouraging me to do stand-up for a while. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And then finally, I was just like, F it. I'm going to do it.
Right.
So I just got up there and started talking.
Really? And was it hard in the beginning?
Yeah, definitely. Just kind of figuring out what your voice is.
Right.
And, you know, I just kind of get up there and talk, though.
Yeah,
I just, whatever I say just kind of comes out.
Really? So, but you do plan it, no?
Oh, yeah. You plan it. And you don't realize that good jokes that are well thought out take a while to write.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get up there, you do a bit, and then you work on it, and then you go back, and you do it again and again.
Right.
I mean, definitely there's been times when I've had shows that I've performed in front of 8 people, and zero of them
and
thought I was funny. But that's just what you go through as
exactly,
a comic.
Right?
You just got to be like, fuck it. On to the next one.
Yeah,
but yeah,
exactly.
I did a stand-up class called Pretty Funny Women, which is how I met Rachel.
Right.
With Lisa Sunstedt.
Yeah,
and it's awesome. I found it very influential and cool that all these women supported each other.
Right. Where in comedy, there's a lot of cutthroat competition.
There is a lot of cutthroat competition. It's just nice to have this circle of females that support each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
women do better
on
that than men do. You know, men are so fucking competitive. Everything is a pissing contest.
They are. Well, men are like, fuck you, fuck you. And then they're like, you're my friend. Like,
yeah,
5 minutes
right.
later, women like holding that shit to
the
grave.
And then you stole my
joke.
Like,
I remember what you did 2 months ago. I remember what you did 5 years ago. Like,
yeah, you know. And they hate each other for stealing jokes and borrowing lines and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, guys.
Well,
it's
hard for a female comic, too, because I go through a lot of the, oh, well, you're a female, you're not funny. How can you be funny?
Why do they say that? I mean, I've always wondered.
I don't know.
I mean, I know a lot of funny women, you know?
Right?
Why can't a woman be funny?
I don't know why people still think like that. I guess they're just still living in 1950.
Yeah, right. So cool. And do you have a day job, too, in addition to comedy and stuff?
Yeah, I do. I work in commercial real estate development.
Wow.
Yeah, which a lot of people don't know that about me because I don't really advertise it online very much.
Right.
But I kind of started to lately.
Really?
But, it's
but
really
it pays
awesome.
The bills and you like it.
Yeah, I do like it.
Very
it's good.
Cool.
It's flexible. It's a good flexible job.
Yeah. Have you done
they're
that
also,
for
They're
a
also
time?
Really supportive of my acting career, which is nice.
Yeah, good.
You could do both.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was on a TV show, I could still do real estate.
Yeah, would you?
Yeah, I would.
Really?
Yeah. I enjoy that.
I don't know if you'd have time, though, you know?
I mean, I definitely have to take a break.
Yeah. I mean, look at Tori. She was here on the show. Now she's on national TV, and she's, like, very busy, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're really happy for her. It's like she keeps posting and stuff, and
well,
it's
I'm
really cool.
I'm always working, so I'm accustomed to the grind life of... No sleep.
Good for you. You see, I admire people that are, you know, actors, comedians, whatever, but they also work to make a living, you know, because you've got to.
No,
you know, you got
to
pay your bills.
Oh,
you
my
know?
God. I don't know how some people just...
I know,
I'm so unproductive when I'm not doing something
really?
All the time.
Yeah.
I'm so ADD. I have to be doing something at all times.
Yeah,
I can't.
Right.
I'm not one to sit still. I'm not very good at sitting still.
Oh, wow.
I was like the kid in class that got yelled at all the time for
the restless one, right?
Oh, yeah. The restless
I know. I was
one.
Like that too, you know, and then you do shitty in school. Because, you know, you have behavioral problems all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we talked about it on the show here, how schools should probably cater more to individual students and their needs and stuff, you know. But
I
how
definitely
do you do that
I definitely
20,
agree with
students?
That. And I think that schools could be better about making creative programs for children and for them to be able to explore their creative natures, because I don't think that is so much promoted.
Not everybody
in the
is a 9-to-5 type of corporate person, you know?
Definitely not.
Yeah.
I tried the 9-to-5
job. Yeah, right.
That lasted about 3 months.
Oh, God.
Not a 9-to-5 person.
I had to do it for years, and I hated it, man.
Oh,
I mean,
I don't
there's
know.
Nothing worse than getting up in the morning and really not wanting to go to
well,
work.
Well, here's the thing is like I could, you know, be back east at a 9-to-5 job doing whatever,
right,
making X amount of dollars, but I would be miserable.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
You got to just, life is too short. You have to do what you want to do.
You really do, you know, because, I mean, you've got to be motivated when you get up in the morning. And if you're going into something you don't want to go to and you'd rather stay sleeping in bed, something's wrong with your life and with your career choice.
Yep.
You know, so that's very cool. And do you have any siblings?
I do. I have a sister and two brothers.
What is that? You guys close?
We are.
No,
very
I know
close.
We did, but not everybody listened.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We do. We're all super close.
Yeah.
We're all like 2.5 years apart, and so my family, my mom and dad, they're still married. Rare in this day and age.
Very.
But I feel very lucky. I feel very lucky that they're, you know, I grew up with a very positive home life.
Wow, how cool is that? Well, you come across as a positive person.
Thanks.
That's a good thing. But we won't ask
I
you
try.
About...
I'm not always positive.
I know.
I had a lot of coffee this morning.
We won't ask you about your trials and tribulations because obviously if you have a very beautiful upbringing, then something goes wrong in the fucking life.
Something,
you know?
Something
always has to happen.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, that's a good segue to get into our guest right now, who's sitting here patiently, and we're happy to have him back. Rich Tola used to be. You were on the station once. You were a frequent guest on the show. You went out of town. Now you're back. Rich Tola, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me.
Right. Hey, Rich.
Sam.
So nice
I am
to
back.
Be here.
That's right. A
you're back.
Years away.
Where did you move to after you were here in L.A.?
I went to Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah, lasted 14 months. Taught yoga there. Developed my Tola yoga.
Uh-huh.
Guys, we'll talk about that. Yeah, I love
that Rich is a yoga instructor. I need more of him in my life.
Really?
I need more yoga to relax.
We have a similar background, you and I.
Really? Really?
Acting, stand-up comedy, real estate. I was a real estate broker, developer.
Oh.
Did all that in a previous life.
Yeah, right?
Rich is from Wall Street.
Wall Street,
tell us more about that.
Oof. I was follow the herd mentality. You know, I came through college in the 80s.
Okay.
Ooh, that tells you how old I am.
I was born in the 90s, so.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was born a lot sooner than that. Oh, man. You were born in the 90s?
Yeah.
Well, shit. Well, I went through Wall Street in the 80s, and that was, well, that was an interesting time.
And you
so
were
I came
in your 20s, 30s then? Or?
20s, 20s okay. when I got out and then got into it. That was sort of like what everybody was doing. Went to Wharton undergrad at Penn. And that's what you did. You got into finance and blasted. I never liked it. Never really liked it. Didn't excel at it, but went back into three stints at Wall Street, actually.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I remember it's interesting, but because back in the 80s, that was the thing to do, to get into high finance, exactly.
Charlie
so
Sheen.
Get an MBA, get to Wall Street and stuff, and make 6-7 figures. You know, and
it's like one of my favorite movies is with Tom Cruise, The Firm. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
Big
that
TC
pretty
fan.
Good.
Yeah.
Big
yeah.
Time. Or,
well, Wall Street, the movie.
That's
was
my
really,
influence
yeah.
of Wall Street in the 80s.
Yeah,
hey,
the
you
Wolf
know, you
Wolf
were these guys. Yeah, you know, Gordon Gekko went to prison, but check out his $5,000 suit.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Everybody revered the guy, but yeah, no, Wall Street was what you did.
Right.
Yeah. But, the same with the Wolf of Wall Street, too. You know, everybody admires this crook guy, you know.
Yeah. It's interesting how people admire these crazy crooks, but... They're such bad people.
Because they make money,
Why do you think
you know?
That
I
is?
Mean, we used to be fascinated with Donald Trump and all his money, remember?
Yeah.
There was one time, it's like everybody wanted to be like Donald Trump, you know?
You know
people were buying his books. And
I saw on Twitter yesterday someone tweeted a picture of his penthouse and said that it looks like the inside of a Cheesecake Factory. And it's very accurate.
Really?
It's very accurate. I have to show you. I'll pull it up.
No, people are attracted to money.
Yeah.
What it brings.
So it does bring a lot of things and stuff. So did you live like the high life for a while? I mean, you had a lot of money and...
Well, it's a relative term, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's
well,
a lot of money? Today's day and age, a million's not
well,
a lot of money.
It's
no, but
not,
for back
God.
Then, were you able to do everything you wanted to
do? Oh, yeah. I lived a good life, bought racehorse. I mean, you have to read that memoir there, Sam.
Yeah, so you lived in New York, right?
Lived in New York for 12 years, Upper East Side mostly. But, yeah, I loved it.
And where are you originally from?
Trenton, New Jersey. Give a shout out to all my peeps from... Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Did the Jersey Shore. That was back in the day before there was a Jersey Shore.
Is it anything like the MTV show? The Jersey?
Well,
is it really? I've never been, so I don't know.
Yeah. When I was at the Jersey Shore, oh, God, we're talking 70s.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. It was, yeah, we had a wild time. That's another another story in my...
I would love to hear about it.
Oh, yeah. No, we had a great time.
Yeah, well, he doesn't want to tell us all of it because he's written a book. You wrote a book, Rich. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Yeah, I wrote a book called Simply Between Millions, From Wall Street to Hollywood. That's about 5 years old now. Can you believe it?
Really?
How time flies. Yeah,
wow.
I came here with a five-year plan.
Okay.
I came here on February 2nd, 2007.
Okay.
So that's 10 years ago.
Okay.
Got into the business in September of 2006 is when I became a full-time entertainer / yogi. Became a yoga teacher.
Cool. Right.
That was awesome. And then I came out here to pursue that. Always was interested in writing and developing and films. I'm a big cinephile. I hate that word, but it's a cool word. Big into cinema. And I came out here and 6 months after starting in New York City. Trained for 5 years, taking classes with everyone from Susan Batson to Will Wallace. And
in New York?
New York, Susan, and then I moved out here. Greg Braun, I mean, I got started with teachers there and here, and just kind of rolled with that. Made a film called Boulevard Zen. Everything.
Can you see the film online?
You can see that. You can buy it online.
Yeah,
you can buy it. It's also DVD.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
start producing my own work. So initially, when I came out here, I wasn't.
I'm all too familiar. You just have you have to make things happen for yourself. I'm also a writer, and I've written two web series, and I'm currently filming one now and pitching the other one. And
this
is what you got to do now. You have to create your own
content. Can't wait for the phone call. I can't wait for George Clooney to call me.
No.
But, people like that. They come here and they go, you know, I want to pitch this to the networks. I want to do this. I want to do that. Let them have... People are not going to take a gamble on you. It's like they don't want something that you're working on. They want something that's ready.
They want something they're not going to hire you unless you're already doing what they want, and then you can expand into other things. But you got to just have your channel.
A guy told me when I first got here, he said, there's only one rule in Hollywood. There are no rules.
No one really knows what they're doing here. That's the secret.
Right.
You got to follow your passion.
Yeah.
Live what you love.
Yes.
There's no doubt. And
but somehow they churn out a lot of great work, you know, from Hollywood.
Well, people are attracted to passion. If they see that you are, and this isn't just an entertainment, this isn't
anything.
If you are really passionate about what you're doing and you personally believe in it, then someone else is going to believe in it.
Yeah, you have
because
to,
Because they
you
see
know.
Your feelings.
Well, it resonates. And you know, as an actor, it's the emotion. Yeah. It's not the words. It's what's behind it.
Exactly.
Same thing with anything you do. I mean, look at Howard Stern. The guy just rules because he just since childhood.
Yeah. Right.
So that's the key. If you could find what you love and do it, and it'll resonate, and then eventually you'll make money at it. If not, keep doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And stay focused on it. You know, don't like laser focus. And if you think about it, even the law of averages or probability, if you focus on something, on one thing for a long time, you're bound to succeed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, your chances are greater of succeeding than if you don't work on it for a long time.
If the passion is there and you're diligent about it, I mean, if you come to work late, you dick around, you know, you got to be committed to it.
Yeah,
the commitment,
you really
the
do.
Discipline, is there everything? It's like when I talk about working out, I've been working out in the gym for 40 years, okay,
mm-hmm.
every day. And people say, oh, you know, I used to. I hear that all the time. Well, it's like, hey, I'm passionate about fitness and yoga now. It's been in my life for 13 years. You know, you live it, you look it, all that business, it works. So,
do you strictly do yoga or do you do anything
else?
No,
I lift weights every day.
Oh, you do?
I go to the gym. You know, it's a three part. I look at it as three parts. Weights, I think everybody needs a diet of weights, men and women,
doubt. Yes, definitely.
You got to strengthen the body. You got to do cardio. So I work I walk 5 miles a day. I used to jog and run, but that's not my thing. If you're into cycling, whatever it is, get the cardio in. And then thirdly, yoga. And for me, it's Tola yoga because Tola yoga is a workout style of yoga, fitness style.
Right.
So I
want
to work that
pace.
Body. A little faster. I'm based on a vinyasa background or vinyasa flow type of class, if you guys know what that is. But my style is, you know, it's a five-part Tola Yoga has five parts to it, equal, and we're basically working the body. So you know the mind, body, spirit?
Oh, yeah.
I take a little bit of that mind, a little bit of that spirit, and put it back into the body.
Well, yeah. I'm a firm believer that working out is good for your mind. You have to, strengthen your body and make yourself stronger, but it's all about making the mind stronger, too.
Yeah.
Shows. You look like you're in good shape. So
thank you.
There you go.
I do Orange Theory classes. Have you heard of those?
Yeah, yeah.
I do
those. Up in Seattle. Saw one of those studios.
Yeah.
Not sure what that is, though.
It's divided into three parts. So it's like 20 minutes on the treadmill, 20 minutes on the rower, and then 20 minutes in the weight room. And it's
I'm not a big fan of the rower. If you have low back issues, you got issues there.
I'm not either.
You could do that outside.
Right, right.
And the rowing, you could do pull-ups. So it'll help you with that. And then weights, so what is...
It's good for me because...
Is it like a lot of women in there? Is it like
No, it's actually half and half.
It's half and half?
Yeah,
okay.
It's half and half. But I like doing that. And I also do Pilates on the reformer.
Mm-hmm.
The hard kind.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
I go to Carrie's Pilates Plus a lot, and I love that.
Yeah.
But I don't do a lot of yoga. So tell us, when can I take your yoga class?
Wednesday. Come and see me Wednesday. Yeah, I teach Tola Yoga. I'm at the Reef. It's a cool building. Broadway in Washington. Anybody know the Fashion District in L.A.? Awesome building. Yeah,
yes.
11th floor. Come on up.
Is it downtown?
Downtown, yeah. It's downtown, sort of at the base of the Fashion District. I'm in DTLA. You guys know that, right?
DTLA,
I live in downtown now.
Oh,
love
you
it.
Do?
Yeah.
How do you like downtown?
Oh, downtown. Well, first of all, it's come a long way.
It is. Well,
do
you know
years.
The complex, The Row, downtown?
The Row,
You haven't
no.
heard about The Row. Mm. So The Row is, it's half the size of Soho.
Where is The Row?
It's kind of, it's in like the Arts District.
Like Alameda?
Alameda.
Yeah, the Arts District is, that's kind of moving in the positive direction.
Yeah, it's where
as
the
well.
American Apparel building is.
Yeah, I'm not that familiar.
Pink,
you know,
it's giant.
Thing about the Arts District is you got to go to get there. It's a little gritty. But now that it's sort of popping, it's a lot of development going on. But
yeah, so that's my real estate job. That is like one of our developments that we're consulting.
Okay.
Oh, really? Over there?
Who do you work with?
Cool.
Runyon Group.
Runyon Group, named after Runyon Canyon.
Probably.
I love that canyon.
No. Our office is actually Culver City.
Yeah, that's changed a lot, too.
It has. We have another development there called Platform, which is amazing. High-end
cool.
retail.
Yeah, they're developing downtown L.A. now, but, it's still got a long ways to go.
Yeah, but another 15 years, it's going to rock.
Right.
I liken it to New York City about 20, 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about L.A. is you got 500,000 people that work in L.A. and 50,000 people that live in downtown. Downtown LA.
Right.
So that's what's happening. When the residential is built, as you know, retail follows residential.
Correct.
So you see all these new buildings going up, but the retail has to follow, and we got to get the homeless people off the streets, no doubt.
You have to check out Row because it's kind of separate. It's like this whole development.
That's
there's
its own
stores,
thing.
Restaurants.
It's like the Arts District, it's just its own destination.
And
it is. And to get
there, it's a little separate
walking
from
downtown
to
the Arts District, it's like a little bit.
It's a little unsafe
little bit of a,
to walk.
Well, you know what you're walking through there, right?
Yeah.
Between Los Angeles and Maple, and we'll get into all that. But yeah there's some interesting parts. But the development's going down. Over 100 new developments going on downtown, so it's rocking. 10 years ago, I'm telling you, I went on a date 10 years ago and I didn't want to park on the street.
And downtown?
I was afraid to. Yeah, it was
There's
tricky.
An open mic that I go to sometimes at the Lexington downtown.
Yeah.
And unless I get a parking space
right.
in their parking lot, I will not go.
Yeah, just get an Uber or something,
Yeah.
For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Rich Tola. He's coming up with his new show, Tola Talks, actually coming back with the show. And so tell us a little bit about that, Rich.
Yeah.
When is it happening?
Well, first of all, I was here 3 years ago, Sam. I launched my show on Labor Day. That was 3 years ago, 2015.
Wow.
2014. Wow.
Yeah.
And so this time, and that was a daily show, if you remember. I did a daily show Monday
He really
through Friday.
Put himself into it.
It was great.
And I wasn't familiar with LA Talk Radio then, so what was the premise of your show?
Well, I had my premise, Tola Talks. I just talk.
Tola
it's
talk.
Called 20 my 21st Century Talk for a No Bullshit World.
I like that.
I put it out there. East
Good
Coast
name.
Guy. And every day I had a different theme. I had Movie Mondays. I'd watch a movie, critique a movie.
Yeah, Rich has a lot to say.
Yeah, I have a lot to say, but this show in particular. All right, this is going to be once a week, guys. Right. And I got seven parts to it. The first part is, well, segments, right?
Okay.
Seven segments in an hour.
About 5 or 6 minutes each.
Okay.
And I'll just go for it. If I Were President.
Okay.
That's my first one. Get Your Shit Together Award, because I have a podcast called Get Your Shit Together, so I give out an award.
Okay.
World News, a little cover in World News.
Okay.
Rant and Raves, WTF, I call it.
Okay.
I'll rave about something. Fitness and Tola Yoga, because again, that's the foundation of my life is fitness and now Tola Yoga. Books, movies, music, and more, because I read books.
Yes.
If you're not reading books, you should. Love music, love movies, more. And then celebrity guests and listener call-ins. And on Monday, I'm going to give a shout-out to my dear friend Stephanie Drapeau, actress. She's rocking it, killing it right now. She's going to be calling in, guys, so you want to listen to what's going on with this beautiful young woman who's been here for 10 years. She's been at it, and now she's in everything. I just went to a movie screening she did the other day. So, yeah, that's pretty fun. So she's going to be calling in, and it'll go quick. You know how quick it goes this hour, Sam.
The hour goes
You'll
quickly.
See. I mean, you're new. Yeah. You're new to you're doing the video.
The video, right? Yes, I have a podcast.
That'll go fast too.
It
don't
goes
worry.
Quick.
Yeah.
But so you guys can follow Rich. Go to his site, RichTola.com, and you can find out a lot about your. Workouts, yoga,
free classes on there.
That you're doing.
Yeah.
So you got free classes too. Tell people how you can entice them to come.
Sure. Hey guys, if you're interested and you really want to just learn what yoga is, most people they think, well, I can't do yoga. I'm not flexible. You know, that's like saying, I can't diet because I'm fat. Well, guess what? Anybody can do yoga. The key is you want to have a strong foundation. You want to know what you're doing. And I'll be honest, you know what's happening now? Yoga in the last 10 years. I mean. 10 years ago, there were 90-minute classes. Everybody was true to the practice. Nowadays, they're pumping out teachers, and you need to go to classes. You may not know what you get, so you really want to find a teacher that you like. If you want to try my classes, Tola Yoga, we talk about doing things properly. I'm all about body mechanics.
That's important. You don't want to hurt yourself.
Yeah, you got to learn how to do it properly. It's like if you go to the gym, you don't know what you're doing, you got to hire a trainer to teach you, at least learn the basics, the foundation, do things properly. And that's what I'm all about. When you're in a warrior two, what's going on with that knee? What's going on with the arms, the shoulders, the toes? Everything from the ground up. So you'll see, I got a bunch of yoginis there from Chicago. Yeah, Chicago, I was teaching 50 classes a month. Give a shout out to all my peeps out there from the Chicago Athletic Clubs. That was great. And went to Seattle, taught there as well. So I traveled around, did a little stint in Vegas. Didn't last long in Las Vegas.
How long were you in Vegas?
I lasted 3 weeks.
Oh, my God. So you moved there. You were like, I'm going to move to Vegas.
I moved to Vegas from
Chicago.
Well, I wanted to take my style. I developed Tola Yoga in Chicago. And I said, after 14, 15 months, I said, I got to go. So I went to Vegas. 3 weeks, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Well, Meatloaf said 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Well, I was only 1 out of 3, so it didn't.
Oh, my God. So basically,
rock and roll,
you
guys,
didn't sleep
rock and
for
roll.
3 weeks, and you were like, I've had enough.
I did sleep. That was the problem. First of all, I haven't had alcohol. I haven't had a drink. I've been sober for, it'll be 10 years on December
2nd.
Amazing. That was also the going further with yoga and bringing yoga principles into my life, but anyway, when you go to Vegas and you're not a partier and you're not just trying
to
sleep around,
I don't know.
It didn't work for me. But then I went to Seattle. So got to do the Pacific Northwest, and that's a growing town, booming.
Yeah. Seattle?
Seattle is booming, like downtown LA. Yeah.
Oh, well, so, okay, so yoga, if people want to get themselves fit. What's interesting? We had a guy last week. We talked about how kids are given like lots of medication for ADD and things like that, and he said, so I said, so what's the alternative? And he said, meditation and yoga, and that's interesting, because I guess it does affect people positively.
Absolutely. Well, meditation's its own beast, without a doubt. I mean, anyone can meditate, can learn to meditate, do that. I do that on a daily basis. I mean, even
you
if you're taking
to.
3, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, it's more challenging when you're doing it for 20, 30 minutes. That's something you build up to. And then yoga is its own element as well. And you could find different types of classes. The key with yoga or anything is finding, because you're being taught with a teacher, finding someone you like, resonating with that teacher. That's how it worked for me. My first teacher, I just, you know, I fell in love with her. I wanted to hit on her, but aside from that,
right.
That was pre-evolution. No, I had like a rebirth. I really did. And yeah. And that was... But
it's
no,
the way
definitely.
We are. You know, as men, we always, our mind always goes there.
Well, that's interesting, the ADD thing that you brought up. I was prescribed ADD medication from the time I was in middle school up until,
I guess,
2 years ago.
When you told me you were like restless and stuff, I knew probably something like that.
Right, but I think what it was that my teachers were like, she has an outgoing personality and she's very vivacious.
Right.
And they took that as me talking all the time and goofing around in class was that I had ADD, but I don't.
Right.
And people throw that around, ADD. Then when you get into prescription, you had prescription drugs at a young age.
Oh, yeah. From the until ridiculous. 2 years ago when a close friend at the time said to me, I think that you are a crazy person and that you need to stop taking that medicine.
Yeah,
I stopped.
But you seem to be okay, right?
I mean,
it's not like... So it had to do also with age. You were a kid. And kids are free spirits. They don't want to sit down.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was like that too. You know, I was constantly like, don't put me here in one place. I mean, I'm so restless, you know. So, and I'm still like that. But I don't think ADD has anything to do with it.
No,
you know?
But meditation definitely helps.
Yeah.
I need to get
calm
back into
you
the
down
yoga.
And everything.
I'm coming to your class. I'm coming to your class.
Kick your butt, though. As one of my students says, she says it's kind of like boot camp. She goes, you should call it boot camp yoga. I'm like, yeah, that's a...
Okay,
I don't
right,
bark
this,
at
this,
you.
This
I'm a very, very
don't bark
calm teacher, actually.
You have a calm demeanor.
Yeah, I would say I have a calm demeanor. I don't lose my cool.
No, you don't lose your cool, but you're like not here to play. Like you're.
No,
you're,
I'm a no bullshit guy. Come on. I'm from New York. We're straight shooter.
I like
when
that.
When you're from the East Coast like that, you're from there a
people
little southern.
People in LA tend to skirt around a little bit.
Oh, forget about it. It's like, come on. They don't come right at you.
I'm
New
more,
York,
yeah.
they just, it's like it went in New York. Like,
more you're of never, a fan of the New York mentality.
Yeah, you never use the word mealy mouth to describe a New Yorker. You know, when a New Yorker, he's like, when he's interested, he's like an aardvark searching for ants, you know? He's just going for it.
Right.
He's not going to kind of dick around with it. No,
yeah, it's a different place. You have to, I think you have to be tough in New York, you know, or it'll eat you up alive.
Thick skin,
this
as
town
we used
too.
To say.
But this you town too, do. You know, this town will eat you up alive if you don't know how
oh,
to.
Oh, you don't
most don't
to
stay.
Have
you lasted 5 years.
I've lasted. I'm
that's
here
a
to
long
stay.
Time.
Yeah, right.
They say that people move away after like 1 or 2 years.
2 years. Yeah, right about. Well, women last a little longer. Guys are short term. They do 1-2 years. They get the trainer job. They're not happy. Well, you're not getting the role. You know what it's like. You come here and. Well, you, attractive woman, you go on a lot of auditions.
Yeah.
I came here in my 40s. When I came here, I'm 54.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, right? That's like when I came here, I remember one of my acting coaches said, you better grow your hair long because you're
and
going
you
up against...
You have a nice ponytail,
nice shoulder length. He's like, you know, you're going to go against all these doe-eyed guys that are 24, 25, and said, that's not going to work.
Did the ponytail help you get work?
Hell no. No,
but
and
you,
that's
but
another...
But you still have it.
You know what?
It.
You should cut your hair. You know how many times I got told by a manager or an agent,
I got told to get bangs recently.
They tell you everything. It's like everything, it's not working because... But that doesn't work. It
right.
just be you.
Right.
No, I love... Yeah, I've always... When I was younger, I had longer hair.
Yeah.
And then in the 80s, you chop your hair off. It was Wall Street. Yeah, again. And then when I came out of here, just this is an awesome place. L.A. is my home. Even though that's, I mean, yeah, you're saying you're kind of always where your mother is. My mother's back there. And sure, I mean, those are my family. But here, I consider L.A. I just love L.A.
Yeah, L.A. is home.
After
well, you ended
so
up coming
places.
Back here, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people complain about this place, yet everybody moves here, you know?
Exactly.
So what
I,
the
I
hell
don't
is
understand,
wrong
like,
with
why,
it,
why
you know?
Do you... You know, it's hard here. It is hard.
It
you
is.
You have to have tough skin, but, you know, get over it and live your life. I mean, if you don't complain about it, if you don't like it, leave.
Exactly, or find a different lifestyle or
exactly.
something. I mean, not everybody comes here for Hollywood.
Well,
I
think that the people that do complain about L.A., it's not a reflection on L.A. I think it's a reflection of the people they're surrounding themselves with, you know, maybe.
You have to be patient.
Or their own experiences. I mean,
right.
I used to blame, you know, certain things on the town. And I'm like, I can't stay living here anymore. But I moved and I came back.
Yeah, you know what sometimes I mean? You just need a refresher.
Yeah, you know, but and to really appreciate LA, because there's a lot of great things about it too, and that's why people come back.
Amazing.
You know, I mean, we've got like 4 million people here, and they're all very happy. You know, I think. Because
where the struggling actors are.
I don't know.
Why
about
did I say that? Why did I say
that? They're all
some
very happy.
Some
though.
Days I'm really happy, other days I am not.
What
but
I meant,
if you're coming here for the business, right? I'm going to give you a quote from I met a guy, this is maybe like 7-8 years ago. I was doing background. Met this. He was a real estate broker, actually. Uh-huh. Been doing background for 20 years.
Yeah.
And he said he met Ron Howard.
Okay.
I actually was on when Ron Howard's film, but he said, I met Ron Howard. Said he gave me one piece of advice. He said, coming to LA to get into the business, he said, it's like you come here and you get in the line. He said, and the line's like 2-3 million. The line's so long, you can't even see to the front of the line. And every day, door opens and they take one person.
Right.
He said, now you're looking, thinking, no way am I ever going to get to the front of the line because there's only 365 days in a year, one person a day. He said, but what you don't realize is every day, 1,000 people get out of line.
Right.
And they leave. And so they give up.
That's an interesting perspective.
And, you know, if that's your journey, my journey wasn't to come here. And, I mean, here I am. I love the radio, by the way.
This
was like...
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's like, and you got to get in line and everything. People don't understand. You got to get to a place early. And if you're going to a place that's very competitive and stuff, you're going to have to deal with this, you know? I mean, like, for example, we had people here, like attorneys... for weed and stuff. So I asked them, well, what if I wanted to open a dispensary now? They're like, take a number and get in line. You're
oh
a little
my
late,
gosh.
You know?
Yeah, it's a lot. I didn't understand it. The process is so difficult.
Right.
I thought, hey, like, that might be a good
what the
investment.
Pioneers went through. My God, I know a buddy of mine 10 years ago had a dispensary. He said, went was in court every month. He said, what we had to go through, that was 10 years ago. He made no money.
Right.
And he was selling it on the side. His money
like
was coming
to,
from the side business.
You have to lawyer up so much in the process of purchasing one of these fields.
Right.
To grow and get all the licensing and, you know, whatnot, certificates and whatnot, that it's almost.
But even
not
if
even
you had
it.
All that, it's still, you know, there's so many people ahead of you waiting for licenses, you know, that already know the business, they're already growers. And here we come new and we think, oh, let's make money, open a dispensary. Doesn't work like that.
No.
Nope.
So that analogy with standing in line and everything definitely works, you know what I mean?
With everything.
It's
and
true.
And if your passion is there and you excel, hey, the proof is in the pudding. No matter what you do, you got to put points on the board. I tell my nieces and nephews. My nephews are excellent ball players now. I'm like, you got to go out there and produce. That's the way it goes. It's
got to put the work in.
You got to put the work in, and there's no doubt if the passion is there. But when it comes time to, well, it's like on the radio. If you're, you know, if it's meant to be. But I think everyone has a unique journey. You know, your journey coming here. Now you're fortunate working in real estate. Most people they're working in the service industry to make it.
Right.
Because you know, you don't have the you have the flexibility when you go on these auditions. I mean, you go out like probably 3-4 times a week.
Yeah, and I, you know,
and you're able
I'm
to do
lucky that.
That
I have a flexible
job. Yeah, you're pretty fortunate. How'd you land that job? You just came out here? You knew somebody there?
Well, it's funny situation.
A funny situation.
Okay, she probably knew
you went
a
on
guy
a date with a guy.
Right?
And
No.
I'm like, we're going to go to that.
You see how we both jumped
in? I know, immediately.
So I didn't have a job. I left my personal assistant job last year. And I just kind of quit and didn't have a plan. And I was like, oh, shit, I need to pay my rent next month. So I saw I'm a member of this female group called Girls Night Out on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And someone posted about a trendy pumpkin patch that they were having in Culver City.
Uh-huh.
And it happened to be the real estate company Runyon Group was having, they were putting on this pumpkin patch with O Fudge, which is a popular restaurant in West Hollywood, and which I had heard of. So I saw that and I was like, oh, like, okay, I can work at a pumpkin patch for a month while I figure out like my next job situation. So I worked every single day, 30 days in a row, and helped like put this pumpkin patch on. And afterwards they were like, whoa, like you showed
you
up and worked
yourself.
Here every single, like I work Saturday, Sunday, every single day. So they're like, okay, like you want to come work in
which
commercial
is rare,
real estate development?
Right?
Yeah, I guess that is rare for, I didn't realize
for
that
anybody.
Was rare for LA, but
they had to do anything every day. Yeah. It's like to do anything, right?
Yeah, so I mean, that's how I got
that job.
It's
easy to form bad habits every day.
But it's so funny because all my friends are making fun of me. They're like, are you kidding me? You're working in a pumpkin patch right now? Like,
so what? Well, you got to get over
funny.
That.
It's funny. It's super comical. I love it. Like, yeah. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, that's what a lot of people do. Something is like below them. Well, that's bullshit.
Oh, no. I'm it's not like, below anything. I'll do anything. Right. And even now, you know, the smallest job, if I see like a piece of trash
I call them
on the ground,
they're survival jobs.
Yeah, I'll do whatever.
So what? Do it. Pick up trash.
Right. I do whatever.
It's better than not working.
Right.
That's the old man
that.
Taught me that. You just got to work hard at everything. My father's a barber. He's been cutting hair for 60 years. Mm-hmm. Still, he's the best.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, if they find something that they do and they're good at, they stay at it forever. You know, it's not like today you go through five careers in your life or something, you know.
Yeah.
Rich, you've switched several
careers.
Oh, well,
I have. Yeah, I definitely. Well, again, I followed the herd mentality. And I did in my podcast, one of the episodes called Buck Conventionality.
Yeah.
And it's, well, I followed the herd because then it's the money. Then you get attracted to the money and you're doing it for the money.
Yeah.
And then the more money you make, the more money you spend, the more stupid shit you do. And I mean, for me, I was never happy with it. And I wanted to be that creative person. I wanted to put my energies into making films, really. That was the first, since I watched Butch Cassidy and his Sundance Kid in 1969, that I fell in love with that whole concept of movie making. And then that's what brought me here. And then you just keep doing it. And then for me, is love and entertainment. And then, you know, you find your niche. And that's what happens. I mean, some people come here and they end up being... I mean, I have a friend of mine, she's a makeup artist, and she's great, but she came here as an actress, right?
Uh-huh.
She tried it 5 years later. Next thing you know, she was good doing people's makeup on these, you know, short films. Next thing you know, she's like, you know, that was really where I was supposed to end up. Another friend became a casting director.
Right. Yeah.
So you can come here. This industry
is
huge.
Agree.
There's so many aspects of it. You can't just say, well, that's not wherever your design. I believe that the journey is going to be where...
I definitely think that you can think that you're meant for one thing and then totally take a different path.
Yeah.
Because you discover things about yourself. I mean, I wanted to
be a you learn along the way.
Sports broadcaster when I was in college. That's what my degree is in.
Really?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Well, but look at you back on the radio.
Yeah.
Broadcasting. Well, have you done any broadcasting from then till now?
No.
No, but look what's happened. And this might lead to something else.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You just never know. You never
know. I'm telling you, my former co-host got hired by a national TV show. And now she's like banging it out, you know.
Good for
and
her.
There you go.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
I
and
love
I know.
To hear
and
stories
and she met like a manager through the show, you know. And so you never know where you're going to be, you know. You got to be, all I can tell you is be out there as much as you can so people will see you, so they'll know you exist.
Exactly.
You know. In the last few minutes, so by the way, we are talking to Rich Tola, and you can go to his website, richtola.com. Find out. I'm sure there's links to all your social media too and everything.
Yes,
right?
It's at Rich Tola. Simple name.
At Rich Tola.
Like 2LA.
Go.
And on Instagram, Twitter.
Instagram, Twitter. I even have a Pinterest account, which I'm deciding on whether I keep that or not.
Oh, my God.
Does anybody do that anymore?
You know, I have a Pinterest account, and I am ashamed that I have one.
It's weak, and if you're not, it's like anything. If you're not using it, it just sort of sits idle, and you're like, wow, I didn't know I had that account.
Well, tell us where we can order your book.
Well, you can go to Amazon.
Amazon.
Just look me up on Amazon. You can also, if you want a signed copy, you can go to my site there.
Oh.
Get you a signed copy. It's a fast read, 69 chapters.
And it's called, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's called Simply Between Millions
from Wall Street. And it really is it's a journey through the decades. I mean, this book, I'm going to make a film out of this one day.
Wow.
No doubt. I won't be in it, though.
Well, obviously, you like films and everything. And you got to make it happen, like we talked about it. If people aren't going to put up their money, then you do something on a shoestring and start. That's what I'm saying again. People don't want offers or promises. They want something that's already ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to see that you have what it takes and that you already have it, you know. And that's So, I mean, I'm seeing people doing this all the time. They start like a web series or something and then they get on Amazon and that, you know.
It's because they went out there, they did the work, they produced it themselves.
Yeah. Keep producing content. And that's what this is. I mean, for 10 years, you say I have 3 shrink wrap products out there. I have a yoga survival guide, which is a video encyclopedia of 100 yoga poses. If anybody wants to learn the basics, that's a great video there.
Yeah.
Also did 15-minute fat burning workouts. So I kept, then I did web series, couple web series. It's the same. You just keep, every avenue you just keep pursuing, as long as you're developing and producing and being creative. You know, people say they're a creative person. They come here, they're in the party, you know, in the hills partying. They're not committed to their trade. And you don't have to end up on the big screen. It could be, you know, like you said, webisodes,
and, and we gotta
radio.
You got to start somewhere, you know. I mean, there's only so few stars out there, you know. So you gotta build up to it. It doesn't happen right away.
And an agent, and one last comment, an agent in New York, first agent I ever met, it was Penny Templeton. Give a shout out to her. She's a great acting coach in New York City. And she brought in this woman who was an agent. This was back in 2006, right? And the agent says, "Let me ask you a question, everybody. How many A-listers come onto the scene on a yearly basis? Every year, how many A-listers are there? Like two, three?" She goes, "So think about it." She goes, "I've been in this business for 30 years. So maybe I've seen 100, you know, 100 A-listers. It's not like every day that someone pops, oh, I'm going to be an A." Exactly. She's like, "So if that's your journey, if you want to be an actor, it doesn't matter where you are. You could be in Kansas City. What about John Hamm from Mad Men? He was in, I think, St. Louis as a school teacher, teaching theater. I mean, like everybody's journey. Christoph Waltz was in wherever he was from, Germany, 17 years. They said, oh, you were overnight success. He goes, what, are you kidding me? I've been doing theater for 17 years.
I think that Morgan Freeman wasn't in a movie until he was in his 50s.
Yeah, he was another one. I think it was 40s.
Okay.
But if that's your journey, well, guess what? But you got to stay with it. If you come here.
You really do. And many people really only break later on in their lives, you know. And that's the thing. So you never know. A couple of things before we leave. I wanted to bring this up because I just changed my phone. The headline is Bill Gates just switched to an Android phone. Mm-hmm. Now, he probably had an iPhone or I don't know, but Windows phones, Microsoft tried that, and they managed to get 0.1% of the market with the Windows phones. So obviously they shelved the whole friggin' thing. But the reason I brought this up is because I just switched over to Android from iPhone. And I got to tell you, man, I mean, let me show you. I got the Samsung S8 Plus, and this thing is like you've never seen anything like this in your life. As far as, I mean, the iPhone 10 is going to be what this is now. I mean, look at the quality of the picture.
The quality of the picture is amazing.
And that's,
I have an iPhone, but...
Yeah, but you'll get this kind of quality. You see with the iPhone,
so
also.
It's, I mean, you're holding it from across the room, and it's super bright.
Right. I mean, you can't beat it. Also, Android has got a lot of customization features. You know, like on the iPhone, you want to change the way the text screen looks. You want to change this. You can't do that. You got to stay within their vision. So iPhone, I realize, there's only one. Where there's Android, there's a lot to choose from.
Interesting.
And also, Android really, in the rest of the world, leads by a lot over the iPhone. So it's only here in America that the iPhone's so popular.
Right.
Now,
places like Asia, people have Androids.
Yeah, and Europe and the Middle East and everywhere. I mean, whenever somebody comes from Israel or something, they're buying an Android phone. Mm. So... because there's a lot more. It's an open world. It's just like with PCs. You have Windows, which is like a whole open world. Or you have Mac, which is a very it's Apple's ecosystem, you know. And you got to stay within it. Now, don't get me wrong. I still have an Apple Watch, which I need to sell now because I'm not wearing iPhone. I've got an iPad.
You have to have an iPhone to use an Apple Watch.
Yeah, you do.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. And
well, people get comfortable. I know I do. You get comfortable.
Yeah, you do.
You know, the
MacBook.
Don't like
exactly. You get comfortable.
Change is tricky.
You're
like, especially as you get older, you're like, oh, I got to learn
that
a new
my
toy.
Ways.
But that's what I'm saying. It took me a couple days. I picked it up because a lot of things are similar. But I find that a lot of things, they really thought it out. I mean, don't forget, this is Google, man. I mean, they're not any less a lesser company than Apple. You know what I'm saying? They got the technology. They know what the hell they're doing. And all I'm saying is look at this phone now. No home button, like the iPhone 10 is not going to have a home button. The iPhone 10 is going to have the same, what they call AMOLED screen, which is like what you saw now, very high resolution. The thumbprint or the fingerprint is going to be on the back. which sucks, really. That's one thing that sucks. If your phone is on the table,
right.
you can't do a fingerprint thing, you know, to turn it on. Mm. So you have to pick it up, which sucks. But they're going to have that on the iPhone 10 too. So all I'm saying is suddenly...
if I put my finger here, it's not going to unlock.
Yeah, right. It's not going to unlock anymore because you're not going to have that physical button.
Like, I just press the button.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's not going to be anymore?
No.
Interesting.
No, no, not anymore, man. Mm. So, yeah, you just touch it and it'll come on or something. I don't know. But it's amazing that... I mean, I've been an iPhone user since 2008 when it came out, you know, but it's... but I just said... I refuse to wait now 3 months or 4 months for the new iPhone, you know. I want something now. And also remember, if I don't like it, I can go back to the iPhone.
Do you have a Mac?
You know?
Does that sync with your Mac?
I have a Mac too, but I use Windows mostly.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. You know, I need more. I realized I want a more open world. I wanted to see how the other half lives. And I think finally there's an Android phone that's actually nicer or as nice as the iPhone.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
So, Sam, did you just pay for the show with that ad?
I wish, right? I should tell them. I should tell them.
How much is Android paying you for this?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, Sam.
But I'm just telling people that. I know. It started like a
That's a commercial. Wait a minute. Started do we
that was a
commercial?
Very long ad.
Yeah, right?
I know. He's getting something under the table.
There's something you're getting.
Oh, I wish, my God. No, I'm just getting satisfaction.
Is that what that guy is in the lobby
people.
Out there, Andrew?
Yeah, right. No, I wanted to share it with some people to know that you're not you don't have to be tied down to an iPhone. And this opens up a whole new world. I mean, at least for me, you know. I'm able to customize my phone the way I want and all that. So,
yeah.
Okay, anyway, Rich Tola, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
You guys.
Tell people,
Ren,
tell
yeah.
people
yeah.
once again
Thanks
how they can
me.
Get a hold of you.
You can find me at richtola.com. That's richtola.com. At Rich Tola all over the socials and... Yeah, check it out, guys.
Sounds
we'll
good. And, don't
and we'll see you Monday. Yeah,
yes.
It's Tola Talks, 4 o'clock, LA Talk Radio. Love it here. Great station, guys.
Thank
I'll
you.
Yeah. Sam,
thank
you've
you.
Done
we
a great thing for
you.
10
thank
years.
You. Thank you. And it's been yeah, great. And it's only moving forward, you know.
Love
I mean,
it.
More and more people.
And, Ren, good luck with your show. I'm
going
to have Ren on my show,
yeah.
too. We'll have to
you'll
yeah,
be a guest on my show,
of course.
Too.
Yeah, we're going to promote that. And, Ren, you're coming back tomorrow, so we'll talk more about your upcoming show and everything, because... if you like what she has to offer, you're going to love her show. And I would imagine you're going to bring guests and everything
oh,
if you're
yes.
going to be
so,
on video.
Yep,
right?
It'll be on video.
You need to fill
and
the screen.
A different guest each time.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, Ren, thank you so much for joining me
today.
Thank
you for having me. This was so much fun.
See you
tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yes, we'll see everybody tomorrow. So have a good one and take care.
Peace.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.